Well, thank you all for coming, first of all. So I was having a discussion with one of my coworkers earlier today about how I should start this talk. And he's a very passionate storyteller. And he said, you should start with the why. And I didn't know how I should start and with which why. But then I got a message in our group chat. And well, this is happening right now. There is a ransomware incident at one of the laboratories who does research for one of our bevolkingsonderzoeken. And this, well, this is the reason why we exist. It's to help organizations like this with their incidents. And as you can imagine, as we speak, my coworkers are very hard at work to hopefully resolve this incident as soon as possible. But before we go on, a little bit about me. My name is Niels Beekhuis. You might know me as Nellis the Nerd. I've been working at ZZ since 2019. In my free time, I'm also the secretary of the hackerspace of Amersfoort, BitLayer. Thanks, Johan. So I told you about the why of ZZ, but I can imagine you have a lot of questions about what is ZZ? Because as an organization, we are kind of a strange duck. I mean, we are not an MSSP. We are not a SOC. So what are we then? So let's talk a little bit about what we are then. So, in 2017, actually a few months before SHA 2017, we got founded by a coalition of healthcare organizations, both the Ministry of Healthcare and the hospitals in the Netherlands said, we see that cybersecurity is a big thing. More and more digitalization is happening in healthcare. That's why we need to come together. Because early in 2017, we had a big ransomware attack. You might remember WannaCry, that had a big impact on the NHS, the English hospital system. And the Dutch healthcare sector said, okay, this could happen to us, so we need to come together and do something. But individually, we cannot do enough because we don't have enough money, we don't have enough people. So we need an expertise center. And that's why ZZ was created. So yeah, and that was in 2017. Now we are a few years further, and there is a new law coming into effect, the NIS2. When that law comes into effect in the Netherlands, which is hopefully in the beginning of next year, we will be appointed as the computer crisis team for the Dutch healthcare. So that means we have work for all the healthcare in the Netherlands. Because right now we only have 340 members, but then it means we will have 1,500 members. And at that point, we will also be financed mostly by the government and a little bit by membership fees for special services. So yeah, it sounds great and all, but how does the team look like? Well, our biggest part of the organization is, of course, team operations, who are very hard at work right now, resolving the ransomware incident. And of course, we also got a lot of support departments. Of course, we got relations, office management, IT. It's the department I work in. It's the greatest department of the company, of course. So yeah. And in 2017, our members gave us a mission. And that mission is... Yes. The Dutch healthcare system digitally secure. And I think this is a great mission statement because it describes perfectly what we do. We work for the Dutch healthcare system, and our goal is to make it digitally secure. So, I thought let's split up the presentation in two parts. Let's talk a little bit about that Dutch healthcare system to give you an understanding who we work for. So the Dutch healthcare system. So we have a few members. And of course, these are the typical members. You got the university hospitals, you got the regional hospitals, mental health care institutions, youth services, and things like that. GGD as well, who are also here at the first aid tent. But then we also got some what we call atypical members. For instance, we got the blood bank, Sanquin. But we also got the Dutch Transplantation Foundation, who provides transplantation services for organs. And we also have contact with suppliers, who are maybe not members of us, but we do stay in contact with them, because if something happens, it's good for us to know. And it's also good to have a good relationship with them. And we also have a lot of contact with our partners, because we cannot do this alone. And that's why we have a good relations with our foreign partners, like Noorse Helsecert, but also, of course, the NCSA in the Netherlands. You could say it's like our big brother, who we look up to, and we also like to tease sometimes. And this is where we work for, the Kingdom of the Netherlands. And I say this specifically because that gives us a little bit of a interesting situation, because the Kingdom of the Netherlands serves four countries, and we work for the Netherlands parts. But the Netherlands also has three special municipalities, which are Bonaire, St. Eustatius, and Saba. So that means that we also have members there. And I can tell you that there is a big fight every year in the relationships team who gets to visit our members there. Because who doesn't like a trip to a tropical country? Okay, I talked to you a little bit about the healthcare system, but I said earlier, our mission is the Dutch healthcare system digitally secure. So let's talk about digitally secure and how we do that. And we do a lot of things. And if I would talk about all the things we do, I could probably fill an hour. And you have other things to do, so I won't bore you with that. So I picked out three parts, three ways to digitally secure. And we do a lot of warnings. So warnings of things happening right now or potential threats. We do a lot of knowledge sharing. And of course, if push comes to shove, we also do incident response. So let's talk a little bit about these warnings. Because a big part of what we do is warning of current threats. And we do that, again, in three ways. We do that with medical and normal advisories for medical devices or common IT, which is probably the biggest part of what we do. We do it with sharing IOCs. And we also do it with operational alerts. Now, these medical advisories, last year, we sent about 777 advisories to our members. And of these, we send out 18 high. That means high chance and high impact. Basically, if you get impacted by this, this shit is going to hit the fan, basically. We receive this from our partners or the manufacturer, which is great. But you know, these high alerts, sometimes we see things happening that we feel something needs to happen right now. And that's why we have operational alerts. And the operational alert is basically an alert saying, okay, whatever you're doing, drop everything right now. You need to do something right now. And we sent, last year we sent 7 of these. So with these operational alerts, we also like to share IOCs, or indicators of compromise. And these are, for people who don't know, technical pieces of information. These could be IP addresses, domain names, file names, anything that helps the organization to search if they have been compromised, or to prevent them from being compromised. So we have 15 security partners that help us and provide us with this threat information. And last year, we sent out about 550 pieces of IOC. So yeah. So yeah. That's fun and all, but that's warning of current threats. But a lot of what we do is trying to prevent incidents from happening. So we also send out warnings of potential threats. And we do this via blocklist monitoring, external attack surface management, and our red teaming framework, which is called Zorro. So, block list monitoring. It's quite simple. Every day we check block lists on if there is IP addresses or domain names of our members on these block lists. Because that might be an indication that something is happening in their networks. And besides that, we do also do a little bit more of an active reconnaissance. We also do external attack surface management. And this is basically us scanning the outside of our members to check if there's any vulnerabilities there. Because if it's vulnerable, it might get exploited. And then we send out a warning saying, hey, this is what we see. You might want to do something about this. And then we also do red teaming or pen tests for healthcare. This is one of the things that is quite new and also quite fun, I've been told by colleagues. And this is basically a framework, so we don't really do the red teaming ourselves as a ZCERT. We use other external partners for that, but we provide a framework. This is based on TIBER, and TIBER is an acronym of which I don't know the long name, but it is used and designed for financial industry. So yeah. Now we send out a lot of warnings. We have warned a lot of people, but you know, sometimes you need a little bit more knowledge. You need a little bit more on how to do things. We also have a few things in place for that. For instance, we have our online chat platform on which all our members can get access and they can chat about different teams. And they can chat with people who have the same function and they can ask all kinds of questions. For instance, hey, we have this problem, how did you solve this? Or hey, we saw this, how can we resolve that? Stuff like that. So that's great to build communities and to ask like-minded people how to resolve things. What we also do is exercises. This is also a pretty new thing, but I think it's great. because this helps the organization to practice in case there ever will be a crisis. And as you can see, probably someday it will happen. So with these exercises, we can help the members to practice their incident response in case anything ever goes wrong. So yeah, but despite everything, despite all the knowledge sharing, despite all the red teaming, the warnings, the high highs, the operational alerts, eventually, probably, it will go wrong. And that's when we are also there, we also do incident response. But our incident response is not what you would think of. We don't have a van with a blue light on it where we jump in and to drive to the organization that got hit by the incident. We, as a sectoral CERT, have more of a global coordinating role. What we do is we help with analyzing, we advise the organization, and we also warn other organizations that's about the incident that's happening. That's why we can, for instance, we can share the IOCs of the current incident happening with other organizations so that they are not impacted. Now, of course, when you first get an incident, we get a request for support. The organization needs to call us or email us some way, either way, contact us for a request for support. Then we do a triage. And after the triage, we have determined what our response will be. And it usually means we provide support or we give them phone numbers of people who they can call, stuff like that. Well, after that, the incident is hopefully resolved, it's complete. And then we also want to join the evaluation. How did things go? What was our role? How did you think it went? And what could we do better next time? Which is also important, because we want to learn from this. So yeah. In closing, I got permission from my coworker to use this photo. He dared me to use it, and so I did. Anyways, that was almost pretty much it. I do want to ask you guys, if you're a Dutch organization and you want to work with us, if you're a medical supplier or if you are not a member of us, yes, please contact us. We love to work with you. If you work for a European healthcare organization, please also contact us. We have the European Health ISAC. And if you are a hacker, and you found a vulnerability somewhere in a Dutch hospital or otherwise healthcare system, please also contact us. And that was it. Thank you for your attention. Any questions?
Do we have any questions?
Any questions? Oh, I see.
It works, I hope. Yeah, thank you, Niels, very much. You were talking a lot about hospitals. How about pharmacy?
Pharmacies. Yes, I know for a fact. So. Yeah, I get a subtle hint from my coworker. With the NIS2, they are will be required to join us. But as of right now, we don't do much with them.
Is that an obligation or is it? It is
yes.
Obliged to join you. Okay. Yeah.
No, it's an obligation. Right, okay. Now, it's a right. You can join us, but it's not an obligation. If the NIS2 is implemented, every healthcare organization above 50 full-time employees or a certain amount of money is obligated to join us. More questions? No questions.
I think you
can. Of course, I've got more questions, but I want somebody else also the opportunity to.
Please, go on.
Well, there's a lot of talking about external threats, a lot about cybersecurity, but what I'm missing is the security inside, because people make mistakes, maybe people are not well trained, do not use the systems correctly, etc. And what I notice, for example, as in pharmacists, in hospitals, everywhere in the healthcare sector, that IT systems do inherit and do have also problems inside. And I don't hear anything about validation of those systems. Is that not something that should be in your services, or should something happening there? Because there is a lot of questions also from pharmacists who do not know how to handle validation of their systems. However, they must do that because it's a law.
Yeah.
And they have find it very difficult. They don't know how to do that. Do you have something in your program or in your plans to help them?
We don't have anything for that. One of the things is that we don't touch systems of our members. That's a little bit of a what you call scale issue. With 1,500 members, them asking us, can you validate this piece of software and this piece of software? It's not really possible.
So you mentioned that the NIS is up to is after a certain amount of employees or a certain amount of throughput. How does that prevent from like small pharmacies or laboratories falling through the cracks?
The honest answer is it doesn't. But in cooperation with the Ministry of Healthcare, we have decided if they want to join voluntarily, they can. But there is no real way of for us to force them. Next question.
Great presentation. So I'm curious about Dutch GPs, right? These are often standalone institutions. Do you guys happen to work either directly with many of them or instead with the Ministry of Health, Sports, and Welfare to help support those doctors and the security of their system, similar to how the Danish Health Authority is supporting them?
So what we usually see with GP offices is that they don't handle IT themselves, but instead they use a IT provider for that. And what we try to do is then have the IT provider as a member, because that way we can work a little bit more efficiently, because else we have to send the warnings to the GP office and then they have to forward it, and maybe that doesn't happen because of reasons, so we try to help them that way.
I remember some time ago on the Dutch television there was a program about Chipsoft having a lot of problems within the hospital systems. Were you involved in trying to solve those issues, and is there any progress made on that company? Because 80% of the hospitals, I believe, are using Chipsoft and they do not have any other choices except using this bad system, which causes a lot of trouble, I heard.
Yes, as far as I know, we were not involved in it in that case. Any more questions?
If there's no more questions, then I think we will have to thank you for your... Please give him a great big applause for the presentation.
Thank you.